Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know one thing that we all have in common. Don't we all want to know the truth? The truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, confusing, chaotic world. So welcome to the 617th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, solely for the glory of God, folks. And the message is titled 2023 Endgame Update Number 33. And a bit later in this message, folks, stay tuned because we're going to tie it all into discerning the difference between the truth and mere facts. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. And right is just and right is he. So I hope you stay tuned to learn how we can remain grounded in the rock of truth. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we navigate this crazy, confusing, chaotic world. But the bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. And as God's people, we're just passing through. So let's all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And be sure to stay tuned to find out the latest news that the lying mainstream media will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But remember, folks, it all started with this lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as we do every week, folks, let's get started with something of a review from last week's episode. Now, just last week, we talked about the suppressed fallen angel technology and the works of Townsend Brown and his levitating disc, also known as the flying saucer. And folks, we're hearing all about UFOs and aliens in the media right now. So what I want to do is just replay this clip from last week to remind us of what the establishment's been doing with regard to disclosure, as they call it, on this topic. So listen for the comment in this next clip concerning the stealth bomber technology, and then I'll catch you on the other side with something that I promise you will blow your mind. So without any further babbling from me, let's have a re-listen to the anti-gravity technology that was developed by Townsend Brown.
In the 1950s, as waves of flying saucer sightings occurred throughout the United States and while an infant space program was trying to catch up with the Russians' launch of Sputnik, a man named T. Townsend Brown was busy on experiments that defied conventional understanding about electricity, gravitation, and propulsion. Along with Drs. Paul Byfield and Agnew Bonson, Brown took high voltage to the next extreme. In this rare home movie, the earliest experiments in electrogravitics are recorded. By using high voltages over 20,000 and up to 200,000 volts, Brown discovered that highly charged capacitors would exhibit a noticeable thrust in one direction. Although awarded a patent for his electrokinetic generator, no one has ever reproduced his experiment until recently. Larry Davenport, shown here demonstrating his replication of Brown's electrokinetic apparatus, explains.
But when I first began to read Brown's stuff, I didn't quite understand the difference between the ion wind devices, which there's a lot of them out there, and some of them are very efficient as far as producing ion wind, and his particular apparatus. I finally decided to do Brown's work in 1994. I looked at his device. I'd tried several different things, and they hadn't worked. And I thought, well, Brown is supposed to be the pioneer of this, or so the people that make the claims and get the patents, they always refer to his name. So I thought, I'll go back, and I'll try to do this. Getting it balanced was real important.
His method of propulsion specifically was using the charge separation, high voltage charge separation on a vehicle. He found that circular craft were better for that application than winged craft. However, recently we found through Dr. Paula Violette's research that the B-2 bomber actually seems to qualify as an electrogravitic craft. The military has admitted that it electrically charges the forward leading edge of the wings. There's also a very high dielectric being used. Depleted uranium is used on the forward edge of the wings, and whether or not there are other applications for that technology and that design, we're recognizing that because the exhaust gas is also negatively ionized, that all of a sudden we have the high voltage charge separation that's necessary to provide an extra propulsive force, especially at high velocities. So electrogravity in that aspect is a very simple process, but does provide a good amount of force for a very small amount of energy input.
As with many other promising inventions developed during the Cold War years, the National Secrecy Act prevented scientists like T. Townsend Brown from commercializing or even publicizing any technology which could potentially be interpreted as having a military application.
So there you have it, folks. You decide. But what I'll tell you is that this story gets very interesting. So you heard there they talked about the stealth bomber, the B-2, which replaced the B-52. It's got an electrogradient, electrogravity technology using depleted uranium, wing design, and then a negative ion exhaust. Folks, well, hold on, because this is where that story gets really interesting. So we heard this clip last week, and I know there's a lot of AI happening on all of our personal devices. So I use an iPad to do most of this research. And wouldn't you know, but an article from last year pops up on my iPad during my newsfeed, you know, review of my newsfeeds to gather information for the show. And it's titled Skunk Works Release Details About Top Gun, Maverick's Dark Star Hypersonic Aircraft, and this was in The Aviationist. And this goes back to the release. That was back in June of 2022. So the article goes along like this and talks about a week after the long-awaited Top Gun Maverick finally hitting the theaters, the Skunk Works division of Lockheed Martin. And folks, I've worked with both the Skunk Works over at Lockheed Martin, and I've also worked with the group in Mesa, Arizona, for Boeing, which is called, just forgot the name of that one. It'll come to me in a minute. Anyways, the Skunk Works division of Lockheed Martin, Phantom Works, folks, Phantom Works. In fact, we have a couple products in their Phantom Works program right now. And that's all I can say, not because I'd kill you if I told you more, but because they won't tell me. In fact, I got into Phantom Works one time. I had to go through all this screening and security, and I got to actually go in and sit in a meeting room. Yes, just to sit in a meeting room in Phantom Works in Boeing's group out in Mesa, Arizona. I had to go through about a 2 or 2.5 hour security clearance process. But nevertheless, I don't know much about what they do with our material. Then I also worked on a program with Lockheed Martin. But anyways, getting back to this story, and the reason I'm telling you this is there's some very extremely advanced technology there. So as a supplier to that industry, that dark, off-budget type research, you don't even know what you're doing. They ask you for a product, and you try to get information on the product's performance so that you can make it better. And as I go through this over the years, as it's turned into decades, I'm starting to realize I may actually be contributing to the forging of the very chains that will bind us. So I'm rethinking a lot of this right now, folks. I didn't realize what I was doing at the time. But anyways, back to this. So the Skunk Works Division, right after the release of Top Gun Maverick, comes out with this this press release. And in it, actually, they dedicated an entire page to the Top Gun and the mysterious Dark Star that's out there. And all this has been confirmed by Lockheed Martin's CEO, James Teichlet. And he has a post on LinkedIn where he talks about the film. And then, lo and behold, Lockheed Martin tweets the following. And this is all a year old, remember, folks? But it comes up on my iPad through AI because I'm researching all this. So anyways, Lockheed Martin tweets this. Some call it movie magic. Our Skunk Works team, and that's a registered trademark just like the Phantom Works is, calls it defining the future. And in the film, the Dark Star has a sleek aerodynamic appearance. You see a couple pieces of the wings, small wings, canted vertical tails. And the aircraft's all built around what's known as a turbine-based combined cycle propulsion system. And it's a little bit about what we heard in that anti-gravity clip featuring Townsend Brown's technology. So it has two turbojet low bypass turbofan afterburn engines, plus they have what they call two scramjets. I guess that's for directional stability. Now, an interesting feature that comes from a real aircraft being developed right now at Skunk Works is the fact that it has these technologies too. Now, this technology that's in Skunk Works right now, and this a little bit of information you can get out, there's all these leaks and people are always trying to take long distance photographs and all that other fun stuff. This new technology that's being developed by Lockheed Martin, and I contend that it's based upon Fallen Angel technology, is the X-59 QSST. That's QSST. Now, this cockpit in this new technology and the one used in the Maverick movie has no forward visibility. So what these pilots are doing, just like Maverick did in the film, is they're using what's known as synthetic vision systems in the aircraft. So they're actually flying with a screen instead of a cockpit windshield. Isn't that insane, folks? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. So it's literally right out of sci-fi. And like I said, I'm not making this up. This is a technology right now. The X-59 QSST is in development at Lockheed Martin, and I contend that it's using Fallen Angel technology.
What?
That's right, Paul. Now think about it, Paul. Doesn't this entire story remind you of the Elon Musk, Tony Stark story that we covered a while back, you know, from the Corbett Report? We played the clip from the James Corbett episode, the documentary he did on the striking similarities between fact and fiction, the blurring of the lines between reality and sci-fi. So we see that same melding of fact and fiction here with this whole phantom technology that's being developed at places like Boeing and Lockheed Martin, and then what's going on in shows like Top Gun. So when this becomes blurred, the question becomes, which came first, the fiction or the fact? Now, on Lockheed Martin's website, they continue to say things like, the Dark Star technology was done in secret. Well, that's a movie, but it was done in secret. Or is it just some fiction? Or is it fact? Folks, this whole Skunk Works thing is strange. Just as the so many other things in our world today. So you got Lockheed Martin quietly working on the design and build and concept for a movie? This is a defense, a tier one defense contractor, folks. And so we've got this crazy world around us right now, you know, and I can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it. But then there is something we can do. And you know what we can do? We can pray. Precedes the speed of light. It is a directed energy weapon beyond anything that even the fallen angels could develop. So what do we have here? We have Elon Musk mimicking Tony Stark, or do we have Tony Stark mimicking Elon Musk? And do we have the Top Gun aircraft mimicking this new technology being developed at Lockheed Martin, or is it the other way around? You know, sometimes facts are stranger than fiction.
Surprise.
That's right, Gomer. It is. Well, actually, to me, it's not a surprise. Now, we have another example here of the melding of fact and fiction. Now, get this, Gomer. The model they built was so accurate. Remember, this is for a movie that China actually was fooled into believing it was a real experimental aircraft. And then they reoriented the spy satellite to take photos of it. I mean, folks, get your head around this. I think this was Paramount Studios. They're working hand in hand with a tier one defense contractor. Folks, do you know how difficult it is for me as a supplier to tier one contractors to even get time with them and all the security clearances I had to go through? And here's the very insane thing about all this. You're going to bring an entire movie division into Skunk Works to make a fake plane for a action-adventure sci-fi film? Give me a break. This is insane. Well, there is a rather mysterious hint in their words in that tweet. They tweeted, Darkstar's capabilities could be more than mere fiction. They could be reality. So the reality here is, folks, that there is both a fallen angel technology in the hands of a darker element in our government. This is the off-budget deep state that never changes with administrations. And then there's also this other technology known as reverse engineered tech. And the way that is derived is that one of the legitimate branches of the government, say the Air Force, shoots down one of these dark operations, they recover it, and then they reverse engineer it. So we actually have these two elements in our government kind of fighting each other right now. And this is the reality we're in, folks. So which is it? Is it fallen angel technology or is it reverse engineered technology? Oh, and by the way, we're going to talk more about another potential fallen angel technology a little bit later in the show as we take a deep dive into the crimes against humanity now underway as I speak on the island of Maui in Hawaii. Now, all I'll say right now is exactly what Jesus said. It's all going to come out. Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, verse 17, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be made known and brought to light. Folks, never forget that the occultists use a method, and we talked about it on the show. It's called the revelation of the method. It's an element of predictive programming, and it gets the collective consciousness ready for the next disclosure or the next absurd thing, false flag, whatever it may be that they're going to do. But right now, folks, we have to keep moving, and it's time to get started with Brother Alex's and Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. Now, before we get into today's news update, which always starts with the coronavirus heist update, I just want to ask you all to pray for our dear Sister Kathy. She emailed me in Ingrid this week, and she's not well, folks. And I know that she could use all of our prayers. So please include Sister Kathy in your prayers. And there's a specific way we could pray for Sister Kathy right now. Let's pray for healing and life to be infused by the power and agency of the Holy Spirit into the life of our Sister Kathy. And I'm telling you, folks, she's literally like a sister to many of us who go back to the original days of tribulation now. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we know that you are able, and we thank you for hearing our cries. Please heal and restore our dear Sister Kathy as we all strive to serve you in the kingdom's work as we excitedly await for your soon return. Lord, we pray in the name and the precious blood of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Savior and our friend and our brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people all said, amen. Folks, now it's time to take a deep dive into our coronavirus heist update.
The coronavirus, COVID-19, bottled, pandemic, the coronavirus, it's a scandemic. They call it the great equalizer. And say we're all in this together, except that for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus and just say they know that all their lies are mind control.
By now, folks, I hope you see that it is all lies and mind control. It truly is. So, folks, as I said in the words of Jesus, one day it's all going to be revealed. It's all going to be shown under the light of truth. Well, folks, this is the news flash I've been waiting for since the beginning of this scamdemic, folks. The entire COVID vaccine narrative was based on nothing but fraud.
Are you serious?
That's right, Paul. I am very serious. Now, what I'd like to do is have us all take a listen to this next statement by a woman named Hope, who works with her husband, Tyvon, I think is how you say his name. And this is their second report on Sean's STG report. And it's titled Nanotech Plandemic with Hope and Tyvon, Part 2. So I hope you're ready for this. But this one, you need to have your seatbelts buckled, folks.
This company in Israel then laundered the data, erased all the adverse reactions that the test victims were experiencing, and sent a fake report back to the DOD and FDA to make it look like clinical trials were safe and effective. This laundered fake report is what they used to get the emergency use authorization needed to inject the rest of the U.S. population with this bioweapon.
Hey, friends. Sean from SGT Report here. Thank you so much for coming on back to the show. We very much appreciate it. This is the much-awaited Nanotech Plandemic Part 2 conversation with researchers Hope and Tyvon. And what you just heard is the fact that there was fraud. There is fraud, and fraud vitiates all contracts, even the most solemn contracts, documents, and even judgments. This according to the Supreme Court of the United States. Friends, you're going to hear in this one that not only was there fraud, but Pfizer experimented on our own U.S. military.
What? Are you serious?
Can I have some more coffee?
Yes, Paul. Straight, plain, and simple. This is pure, unadulterated evil, folks. They experimented on our men and women in uniform and their families, including their children. And then when they saw the bad data coming in from this, what did they do? They falsified the data, gave it to the FDA and the other federal agencies, which was the backstory or the pre-work for an emergency use authorization. And then they unleashed it upon millions, literally billions of people on this earth. It sickens me, folks. And yes, Sean's correct. Fraud does void all contracts, including Big Pharma's immunity from prosecution. Now, Karen Kingston, she's also out there revealing this fraud. And please pray for her. Something strange is up with that entire story concerning Karen Kingston, including what Mike Adams reported just yesterday on his podcast. Things just simply aren't adding up, folks. I'm telling you, these are truly dark times. And the one thing that I know that I know that I know is that Jesus Christ is the way and the light, along with being the truth, folks. And his return is sooner than we all think. We are literally living in one of the most incredible times in all of his story through the entire history of his story. I'm telling you, folks, God is faithful, and he always keeps his word. So please, 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 regardless of what you hear, wherever you hear it, including on here, remain grounded on the rock of truth. And remember the scripture that I opened with, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He, that's Jesus, folks, is the rock. He is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Praise the Lord, folks. Now, if this isn't all wicked enough, this report that Greg Reese came out with way back in February 24th of this year, has now been validated in numerous other reports, including official government reports. Now, they don't come right out and say what Greg Reese is saying here, but they've released all the serial numbers from the death jabs, and then you can go and look at where they were released, and then you can correlate that back to the VAERS data, and you know what it shows? 5% of these vials are causing the vast majority, I think it's like 90 or whatever percent of all of these adverse effects and deaths. So let's let Greg Reese explain what he explained to the American public, for those who had ears to hear and eyes to see, all the way back in February. It's now been validated beyond any doubt. And I'm telling you, this is wicked, folks.
Last year, we published a report entitled Evidence That U.S. Government Targeted Red States with Deadly Batch of Vaccine, a story that most outlets ignored. Private leaked documents from the CDC show a list of expiry dates, and only certain lots are included, the very same lots found to be highly toxic in Parda Cooper's database. This mode of deployment allows governments the ability to direct deadly batches into specific populations, such as red states. Analysis of the number of dying per 100,000 vaccinated in 50 states shows us that the overwhelming majority of vaccine deaths are happening in red states. Second smartest guy in the world on Substack also reported on it and has recently published an update, writing that now we have a more robust and far more damning view of this carefully distributed depopulation scheme. Back in Ohio of 2021, the expose publishes a report on data found in the USA's VAERS, Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which reveals that 100% of COVID-19 vaccine deaths had been caused by just 5% of the batches that can be identified. And these deadly batches were not distributed evenly. The top 8 states with the highest vaccination death rate, Kentucky, Arkansas, West Virginia, Montana, Alaska, North Dakota, Wyoming, and Tennessee, are all red states. 19 of the top 24 on the list are red states. And California has been the least affected by the deadly lots of COVID vaccine. The numbers show that Kentucky has a 1,900% worse vaccination death rate than California, suggesting that Kentucky received 20 times the amount of deadly batches than California did. Florida, number 20 on the list of most vaccine deaths per vaccination, received 3 times the amount of deadly batches than California, with its vaccination death rate at 200% higher than California's. The author points out that these deadly batches would be better classified as rapid kill lots and slow kill lots, as we are now seeing more evidence that they kill over time. And the evidence shows that red states were targeted with the rapid kill shots. This would go along with the United Nations Agenda 2030 plan, which seeks to move the entire population into crowded cities and federalize all of flyover country in the name of climate change. They have less than 7 years to accomplish this, and they are deadly serious about it. The U.S. government is in lockstep with the United Nations, and they will resort to murder and democide to accomplish their goals of total control. Many are suggesting that this is what is happening in East Palestine, Ohio, right now. The people of America are under attack by their own government, who is never going to quit until they accomplish their goals or unless they are stopped. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Now, Mika, I hope you're listening, Mika. Do you have any comments on what you just heard from Greg Reese?
Thanks, Mika.
That sounds like it left Mika and Joe speechless, huh? Well, folks, please understand the very simple reason for this. Why would they do this? Oh, and by the way, before all the naysayers and the critics out there say, well, even if you look at the death rate in Kentucky, it's only 1 in 1,000. That can't be depopulation. Folks, these are the short-term effects. Wait till the long-term effects kick in. What most of the normies are calling long COVID, no. They're adverse vaccine side effects, folks. But the real reason the CDC had to do this is that the states with the lowest vaccination rates would have had the lowest deaths. So they had to do something with the distribution of these three different types of shots. And, you know, we covered all that in the show. And if they hadn't done this, if the deadliest vaccines were evenly distributed amongst all the states, you would see a lower death rate in the states with the lower vaccine rates, or I should say death jab rates. And they couldn't have that unless they found a way to stop state-by-state tracking. But you know how difficult that would be to go and get 50 bureaucracies in 50 states to stop reporting like this? So this was their quick fix, folks. But remember what Jesus said. All will be revealed, and all is going to be shown under the light of truth. Now, this next report just blows my mind. And this is why we all must stand on the rock of truth. We have to stand on the rock of truth rather than slipping and sliding on the mountain of mere facts that are being spewed out daily by the fake news. And now I'm even seeing some of it in alt media. And I'm telling you, this criminality just gets worse. It really gets worse, folks. In this next report from the Epoch Times, and this was out, I don't have a dateline on this, I'm sorry. Pfizer dismisses concerns over vaccine mandates and says no Australian was forced. So the heads of the Pfizer Australia division, I guess they were in some government hearing recently, and they dismissed the arguments that the vaccine mandates were coerced upon the Aussies. And the Aussies are pushing back and saying, we had no choice. So there were two Australian directors. There was Pfizer medical director, Dr. Kishan Threw, and Dr. Brian Hewitt. They were appearing before an Australian Senate inquiry. That's what it was. And the head of regulatory sciences for Pfizer, that was, I guess, Dr. Threw, he dismissed the concerns that the senators in Australia had about those that were forced to getting the vaccine. And here's what he said. I believe firmly that nobody was forced to have a vaccine. Can you believe this? So these Pfizer executives were probably being forced to lie by the company if they wanted to hold their pensions and their big fat paychecks and the bonuses and all that. They had to toe the company line, keeping their job dependent upon it, just like all the people that were forced to get the jabs needed it to even go out and get food. You know, isn't this all ironic, folks? It's identical to what happened here, although perhaps not as draconian, because we have 50 independent countries really united under this fallen apart federal government. And that's what we have here. We are the union of 50 states, 50 sovereign countries. And don't ever forget that. And that's probably the only thing that saved us. It truly is. But it is ironic that we saw that same type of thing happening here in some of the more draconian, fascistic, Marxist, whatever you want to call it, states around the Union. People were forced to get the jab to keep their jobs, and in some cases, even buy food. So this Pfizer executive says that no Australian was forced to take the jab. Okay, so they weren't forced. But now let's think critically about this for just a minute. So they weren't forced. Just threatened to lose their job or be locked out, locked down, sent to prison camps. Remember those stories we played? If they refused the medical mandated death jab that their government worked with in this case, lockstep with Pfizer, to force upon all the communities of Australia. And forced is the right term, folks. There's no other way to say this. So they were forced. And I'm telling you, the history shows, and you can go back and study this, that Australia was founded as a prison colony. And under everything that's going on over there right now, these bioweapons attacks, the lockdowns, what they're doing with their currency now, you can say without any doubt that Australia has returned to their roots. Amen? But why? The question you've got to ask is, why are all these draconian measures for compliance and get the jab? And now there's even talk, there's a leaked document I just read about last night that came out of the TSA, that the federal government's gearing up mandates again. And by October, everybody in the airline industry, including passengers, will be wearing masks again. And then what do you think comes next? They're going to start forcing the jabs again because this new variant out. Remember, we talked about the variant named after a demigod, and this demigoddess was the goddess of strife and confusion and chaos. Just forgot the name. Do any of you remember? Anybody on live right now, message me with that. I just forgot the name of that new strain named after another goddess. Isn't this stuff sick? Well, here's why, folks. The reason is this is all part of their transhumanism move, just like the whole LGBTQ movement is part of their transhumanism move. And maybe we can move all that into some unified understanding in a future show. But in this next clip, it's just the intro to a very powerful interview where Dr. Anna Mikhaila was invited onto Maria Z's show, and she presented some new, I mean, this is very damning evidence. And this woman, this Dr. Anna, is an incredible investigator. And she is seeing that this is all linking to transhumanism. And she's also finding evidence now that there's some of this technology being slipped into those people who don't want to comply, through things as benign as dental anesthetics, insulin. And get this, folks, there's even a possibility right now from her research that and you have to say, why? Why are they doing this? Well, they're starting to find that the people that didn't get the jab are not being controlled by their HARP frequency manipulations. You know, that's the technology they use, the low frequency technology that Dr. Bejet, I think it was, that brought out back in the 1990s. And I have that book too, folks. And you have to understand, I asked the Lord back in, I think it was 1988, right after I got saved, to reveal truth to me. And I was telling my pastor this week, it felt like I was living in a leaky roofed house and a big rainstorm came. And I didn't want to get water all over the floor, so I'm putting 5-gallon buckets up to catch all the water that was dripping. And just picture that water dripping to be the truth, just falling down from the heavens. And I just couldn't keep the buckets up. They were filling up and overflowing. This has been going on in my life since 1988, folks. It's a long time. But now it's looking like all of this stuff is tying together. And it's all for this new human 2.0, the cyborg man, whatever you want to call it. But what I'd like to do right now is just play the intro to this interview that Maria Z did with Dr. Anna Mikhaila, I guess is how you say her name. So let's just listen to the intro, and then I'll catch you on the other side.
All familiar with Dr. Anna Mikhaila. She really has been leading the investigation along with colleagues Dr. Nixon, Shimon Yanowitz, Matt Taylor, many others around the world about what is in these shots, what is in the food, what is in the air. And she joins us today to present new evidence that's forming part of her ongoing investigation into transhumanism, including her findings and Dr. Nixon's findings within dental anesthetics, insulin for diabetics, and the possibility, and this is a big one, that those who did not receive the COVID injections are actually unable to be mind controlled through this terrifying technology that they are deploying on humanity. It's very, very interesting. So this is to do with frequencies, and she will describe it all in much more detail. But first, and here's Dr. Mikhaila now. We're joined now by Dr. Anna Mikhaila. She has been really on the forefront of exposing the nanotechnology, the hydrogel, the strange things that are being found not only in the COVID injection, but also in food, in dental anesthetics, in, it seems, all products at this point. Dr. Anna, I've been sharing your Substack. The evidence is so damning at this point, but you've also been researching outside of your own findings, connecting the dots. And I suppose this is what today's broadcast is really about, just connecting all of those dots for people.
Absolutely, and really understanding, you know, in science, we're supposed to ask questions open-minded, and really that's one way that we find answers. You would consider me sort of like this outsider that's just, you know, looking into areas that other people don't look at, but you can see what I find, and I just want to share that with people, sort of a Sherlock Holmes kind of a journey.
Well, we appreciate that, and I think that connecting the dots is very, very important, because it seems there's just this web, Dr. Anna, of all of these different programs that are involved in this. We're going to be doing a series on Uncensored coming up on Agenda 2045, the transhumanist agenda. And so I think that this is the perfect lead-in. So we'll get into your presentation.
Yes. Yeah, so in this presentation, I wanted to connect the dots between the rubbery clot, some of the chemical analysis that we've done, and then this whole aspect of mind control and transhumanism. And this is kind of a Sherlock Holmes investigating crimes against humanity. I'm not saying I have all the answers, but I certainly have found some very curious connections. So this is what we are doing. We are playing scientific Sherlock Holmes. And I just want to briefly review with people just the visuals of the beginning that Dr. David Nixon, who invited me to look at the C-19 shots, and this was the first time we ever looked at it. And this particular video has more meaning now than ever, because in going back at it and looking at these blinking lights that I now certainly believe are quantum dots that I've now seen are key in self-assembling, these kind of metallic objects that are swimming around, that's been very, very important to this discovery process. And as we have seen previously, so you can literally see that these things are intelligently involved in creating this object, which we believe is nanotechnology. And
Dr.
so
Anna, can I just pause you and ask you what's led you to believe that that's quantum dots?
So what's interesting is I started to see these things in the human blood, but then also remember I looked at embalmed blood, and what I saw was that they are changing colors from blue to red to yellow, and I actually filmed that in human.
Okay, that was a good place to stop. That was just the intro, and it gets really good. So I also urge you to go out and listen to that, folks. It'll blow your mind. And if you just want to get to the mind control part of it, go to about the 13-minute mark, and that's where Dr. Mahajja, and I'm sorry for butchering her name, that's where she gets into the whole mind control aspect of this using HARP technology. And she gets the acronym wrong, folks, but I can't even remember it, and I read the book back when it came out. So give the woman a break. A lot of people are saying, well, she didn't even get the term right. Guess what, folks? There's so much detail here that we're all bound to slip up. But I'm telling you, this is an excellent interview, and I want to thank my dear friend Seth for sending me that clip. So Dr. Anna has amazing research on this nanotechnology. Now, I actually first learned about this years ago from two people, Celeste Sulem and Anthony Patch, and I want to thank Brother Alex for sending me that info several years ago. Now, when Alex first sent it to me, I was very skeptical. He was sending me the quantum dot technology, and he was sending me all this nanotech, and he was saying, hey, Ken, do you think this could be related to transhumanism? And I kind of just sloughed it all off. But I'm telling you, my eyes have been open. Now, another person who is an excellent resource on mind control is Kathy O'Brien. And I have her book, and I had her book since it came out back in the 90s. And I first heard about her when she was interviewed on WWCR. Kathy O'Reilly was the name of the nurse, I think, and her husband. They had a show. I think it was O'Reilly, but don't quote me on that. Feels like a lifetime ago. And like I told you, folks, I've been in this truth war since 1988. And if I were to talk about these things, like the book Transformation of America by Kathy O'Brien, if I talked about that back then, people would thought I was a nut job. But today, Kathy's on Twitter, folks. Now, Kathy's a former MK Ultra mind control slave, and I have all the Senate documents on that too. And her daughter was brainwashed by the use of harmonics. And that ultimately replaced this trauma-based mind control, the Monarch Project that a lot of the people, including children, actors, and actresses, were controlled by. They would have trigger words. So I recommend you read Kathy O'Brien's book, too, The Transformation of America. And in this book, she literally details her entire life as an MKUltra program slave. She names names, including well-known politicians that you all have heard about. They're all involved. And folks, this is where it all merges into the pedophilia and human trafficking, the agenda that we covered in the past few shows with the movie Cry of Freedom. Now, before we move on, I'd just like to talk a bit more about Karen Kingston. Karen took risks bigger than she probably even realized or understood, all to bring the light of truth to the actual legal actions that victims of these bioweapons, these death jabs, can actually execute. And if it's done in mass, it can literally shut down this entire bioweapons industry, better known as Big Pharma. Just remember Karen Kingston in her battle with all of this. She led the charge on this bioweapons shot victim reporting and what can be done through legal, lawful means. And I'm telling you, folks, we all need to start taking this action. And I'm telling you, that's why they threatened to go after her. They're afraid of this coming out in the light of truth. So I implore you to pray for Karen. Now, she's reportedly in Mexico now, and as you know, Mike Adams is out there saying, well, she's suffering from the side effects of a treatment for malaria. Wrong, Mike. Come on, Mike. You're not buying that, are you, Mike? Think about it critically for a minute, Mike. Just critically. And you're a smart guy. You are a smart guy, Mike. Why are you out there saying she's a victim of Big Pharma drug side effects? Do you really think Karen Kingston, the whistleblower on Big Pharma, would allow a Big Pharma drug known as Acalate, and I think that's the one you said, but don't quote me on that, folks. Why do you think Karen Kingston would take such a Big Pharma death jab? Why? When she knows how safe and effective hydroxychloroquine is, along with, you know, we all know about hydroxychloroquine from the whole scamdemic narrative. But that was a malaria drug, a very safe, effective malaria drug used for decades. You really think Karen Kingston's going to take one of these new jabs off the shelf? And oh, by the way, folks, how convenient, but now they just rolled out a vaccine for malaria. I'm really starting to wonder. My point, folks, the point I'm trying to make here is you must be a Berean and check out everything you hear, question everything you hear from Mike Adams, from any of these other people in alt media, including Maria Z, including myself. Check it out. And I'm just telling you, something doesn't sit right with me when I heard Mike Adams pontificate on his show yesterday. And boy, he just went on and on and on about it. And then he started to carry water for Robert Malone, another highly suspect individual in the alt media right now. I mean, this guy was involved in the development of the mRNA technology. And now he comes out and he's just the poster child for the alt media. Give me a break, folks. I've been in this too long. I've been in it too long, folks. Cooper warned about this. William Cooper warned about this. He warned about Alex Jones. He warned about all these upstarts. And I'm beginning to see why. Now, maybe we'll do a show on this in the future and talk about the reality of the alt media and the real reason for Karen Kingston's situation. If you want to get into it ahead of time, and I'll pray about this, and provided the Lord's willing, we'll do a deep dive into this in a future show. But just go look up 802.15.6. It's the IEEE Working Group's paper. And it ties into some of the stuff we talked about with Maria Z and Dr. Anna. But no one's talking about this, with the exception of a few times. And you got to start asking yourself why. Oh, and on a side note, folks, the vaxxed injured, there's some really good Rumble videos out there. Just go to Rumble and search Universal Anecdote and watch all the documentaries and testimonials on that. So if you do have vaccine injuries, if you do have all of these lingering side effects, there is hope. But don't follow the directions Mike Adams is giving you with regard to how to prepare that universal anecdote. This isn't a bashing section, a session against Mike Adams. Please don't take it for that. But sometimes I cringe with some of the information I hear out there. So you can make this universal anecdote yourself. It's very simple, but follow the directions. And when properly administered, like my good friend Seth knows how to do, it's highly effective. And I heard it working on so many ailments in as short as 3 days. Things as diverse as Lyme disease to the adverse effects of the jab and so many other things in between. So check it out for yourself. Be a Berean. Make sure it's true. And then pass it on to help others. And may God bless us all. Now, we have to keep moving, folks. And right now, it's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police report, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater from Japanese. Ka means solve. Boo means dance. Ki means steal from the verb. Kabu means to slam or display. Folks, it's all a lot. It's the Latin curve. The curve of the economy, stupid. Must slow down the velocity of money. Or will hyperinflate before we're done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up is down. Light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030. And the new world will just say no to it all. And wake up before it's too late.
Now, this next story is a classic case study in being out of touch with reality. And that is essentially what the establishment is right now. They're out of touch with reality. In this next clip, you've got to ask yourself, who is it that's actually out of touch with reality? The voters in Iowa or CNN? So let me set the story here. The first clip, we have one of the anchors over at CNN, John King. You probably all know him. He's a guy that always does the political news reporting on the night of the elections, and he always got the touchscreen charts. You know, he's the distinguished-looking white-haired gentleman with the rather large nose, talks with such authority. Well, John King was out in Iowa, and you should have – I encourage you to go out and find this. It's on the Gateway Pundit. It's on this news stream from the 8th, I think it's the 8th of August, but don't quote me on that. Anyways, you got to look at the face of John King as he's asking these questions. And let's just have a listen to it. It'll blow your mind. At least it blew mine. Wrong clip, sorry.
Friends and family around the table, don't watch and don't trust CNN. There is reverence for Ronald Reagan here. But listen.
The trust is gone.
Reagan's optimism replaced by Trump's grievances.
We got to find our own way to take care of ourselves.
Reagan's disdain of big government replaced by Trump's distrust of just about everything.
I think he thinks he stole it from him.
Still questions about the 2020 election.
And I had a lot of people agree with him.
Criticism of the Trump prosecutions.
But nothing about that deal is the American way. I don't think.
And this.
If you think the United States should be supporting Ukraine in the fight against Putin, raise your hand. Nobody.
You don't have to be that smart to put to connect the dots, right? And so is the war to cover up sins committed so you can cover your tracks? There's too much money that's been thrown over there.
You think all the NATO countries would do what Biden told them to do because he's trying to cover up some Hunter Biden business deal by...
It all depends on how Zelensky, how much dirt he has on Biden to keep the money coming.
That's out there.
How do you
trust when you know the government has shut down Facebook and shut down Twitter and told them to not show certain news stories?
A few days here makes clear Trump's grip is very strong.
Did you hear the haughtiness in King's voice there, folks? Reverence for Ronald Reagan. Optimism has been overridden by Trump's grievances. Disdain of big government. Did you just hear the haughtiness in his voice? It sickens me, folks. And that guy that was talking about, could they be doing this war in Ukraine to cover their sins? And then... did you hear King just how how skeptical he was when he asks, would all the NATO countries go along? You know, what they do, folks, is they ignore the reality that all these Western economies are controlled by the same power elite. And it's not out there, John King, and you should be doing your job. You should be. And your job is to be investigating. But you don't do it. So after an interview like that, he comes back to CNN headquarters, and then what's he do? He gets into his safe place, and he starts to insult him. And listen to this commentary he does back at headquarters.
But when you hear the Ukraine exchange there, it's like watching the open of an old Tucker Carlson show. He's not there anymore, but that's what it is. And these are busy people. These are hardworking people. There are too many Democrats who want to say they're deplorables or, you know, why talk to these people? There are millions of them. This is a family that literally is an economic anchor in the community. The business started in the basement, employs 80 people. The new solar company employs 15 people in a part of the country that has been devastated economically and challenged economically the last 25 years. They're good people. They raise money for the Girl Scouts. They go to church. But they believe things that would break our fact-check machine. That's just a fact. And they don't trust us. They think we're part of the problem.
Yeah.
You are a part of the problem, John, and all your ilk. A fact-check machine? Folks, there is no fact-check machine. And that comment he made, Tucker's not there anymore? No, Tucker's like orders of magnitude more in his outreach since he left that flimsy, flim-flam, pseudo-conservative news group called Fox News. I mean, what did he do? A couple million a night on that show? He's doing 100 million views on Twitter now, folks. He's not there anymore. Get real, John. Get real. John King is pathetic, folks. And remember that facts are fickle, where the truth is immutable. For example, and here's what I mean by that. Think about the Fox News case with Dominion, that one that just had everybody scratching their head. What was the settlement? Like $750 million? And the Dominion legal defense was that fact check is an opinion, so cannot be the basis for a slander libel court case. That was the position? Okay, we're going to have to give them that. It's as though they think that words never have meanings. You know, and that's the way the leftists are advancing their entire agenda right now. And that's because we're living in an age known as postmodernism. Now, generations ago, what the left started doing is working to make this word truth mean nothing but opinion, like facts are. So you can have your truth, I can have my truth. And the main reason they're trying to undermine this entire concept of what truth is, because in one of our founding documents, there's a phrase that goes, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Well, I'm telling you, truth is immutable. Truth doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I'm going to get more into that in the end part of this show. But the point I want you to realize, folks, that what's going on in faculty circles all around the country and the world today, and in all these classes where the college students are being brainwashed, is that they're trying to deconstruct reality. That's what it's all about. That's postmodernism in one word, deconstruction. And they're out there really saying that there really is no ultimate truth, or at least one that can ever be adequately expressed. It's always part of society. Now, in classical times, critical thinkers had a name for these people, and they were called sophists. So facts are opinions today, and the lines between facts and truth are now even being blurred. Now, earlier in the show, we saw the blurring of the lines between facts and fiction, but it's getting worse, folks, because now the lines between facts and truth are being blurred. But like I said, stay tuned, because we're going to cover the reality of the difference between facts and truth at the end of the show. Now, here's a perfect example of why those critical thinkers from Iowa were so upset and so distrustful of the establishment in Washington. Did you hear what happened, what Merrick Garland did this week? He used a loophole to squash any further investigation into the Hunter criminality charges linking Joe Biden to all of this. until after the 2024 election. Now, Revolver News reports on this. But and I had a clip I was going to play, but I'm looking at the clock, and it's already 8 o'clock, and we have a lot to do. But last Friday, special counsel appointment by Attorney General Garland was the next step in the DOJ's cover-up for the Biden crime family. And what he did is he appointed special counsel Weiss. Now, Weiss is a Delaware U.S. attorney, and he was handpicked by both Democratic senators and the attorney general for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that's to bury evidence deemed credible by other U.S. attorneys. Now, since early 2020, it's been known pretty much in the alt media and by all the truthers that Biden's been compromised. And he's had these $10 million deals, bribes, money's given to him, the big guy, and all of his other nicknames that are coming out now. I think wasn't he some other nom de plume like Mitt Romney was, and I forget the names. And then his son's using Pedo Pete. Can you believe this? So what's going on here is that Weiss is orchestrating a sweetheart deal. I should say he did. He's the guy that orchestrated that sweetheart deal for the backdoor pardon with Hunter Biden, all in an effort to bury this. But the judge spoke out, so then Congress continued in their investigation. That was Judge Norica, I think it was. That was all exposed. So what's the attorney general do in the Department of Justice? They take the guy that was making the sweetheart deal and they appoint him special counsel. Now, here's where it gets really sickening. Once it gets into special counsel, all the documents are sealed and Congress can no longer subpoena documents. Congress can no longer continue their investigation. You believe this? And then what do we have in place of it? We have all these trumped up charges against former President Trump, and pun intended here. All these trumped up charges going against Trump. And he's not the only one, folks. And this is the reason why we the people no longer trust Washington, and why you got songs like we're going to hear a little bit later in the show from Oliver Anthony. Powerful song. Stay tuned. We're going to hear that. But that's why you have these trumped up indictments against the former president. And how about the former populist Pakistani prime minister? What was his name? Imran Khan. He's one of the few politicians to challenge Pakistan's totalitarian army. He draws tens of thousands to these rallies, just like Trump does. He's a fixture in their populist movement. He's loved by millions in Pakistan, and he was jailed on trumped-up charges, just like they're doing to President Trump. Found guilty of corruption and sentenced to 3 years in prison. Now, here's where it gets interesting in Pakistan, and barred from holding political office for 5 years. Folks, that's what they're trying to do here to President Trump. Love him or hate him or be anywhere in between. But this is wrong when you use the legal system to fight your political opponents. And if they can drum up bogus charges against these populist contenders, what can they do to you and me where we don't get any media coverage? And then they just come at you for some stupid thing and shut you down. So just as they did to Khan and they're trying to do to Trump, just as they did to him in 2020, they cheat and they steal, just like they did to Bolsonaro over in Brazil. And even if none of these bogus charges that they have up against Trump right now are real, it's going to affect the election. That's election tampering, folks. And this is all the work by an organized group. And this isn't random actions, folks. Remember the Canaanites that we talked about, the Luciferians, the Sabbateans, whatever you want to call them, folks. They comprise, or they're intermingled in controlling the deep state power elite. If they can't get you by trumped up charges and all these other things, they just flat out kill you like they did to Japan's Shinzo Abe, I think it was. And how about that guy that just was assassinated down in Ecuador? Fernando somebody, I just forgot his name. Do you, anybody out there know his name? They were both assassinated.
Are you serious?
I'm very serious, Paul. Yet nothing from the mainstream media. And I think it's exactly what's being geared up for RFK Jr. right now. You know, he's been denied Secret Service protection as a contender for the Democratic nomination, and he meets all the criteria for Secret Service protection, that the Biden administration is stopping Secret Service protection. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And then if they can't arrest you or kill you or debunk you, then they debank you like they did to that politically exposed person in Great Britain. You know, the populist leader who got the entire Brexit movement going, that quashed their efforts for a United States of Europe, Nigel Farage. Remember we talked about him? Or they decertify you and your info after or during your debanking, like they're doing with Peter McCullough and Sherry Tenpenny right now. It's sick, folks. You know, these leftist overlords are desperate to maintain their power. So the question we have to be asking is, what won't they do? So you've probably all heard of all the stuff they did to Dr. Tenpenny and Dr. McCullough, both excellent physicians who are treating people and have a very high cure rate during this whole scamdemic. Dr. McCullough, the top cardiologist in the country, more published than anybody, he's decertified now. I don't think he can practice medicine anymore, just like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Now, I've been following Tenpenny's advice for years, and honestly, her only fault is her honesty. And that's why they're crucifying her. And you could be certain that Big Pharma is part of this entire corruption scheme. They're no fan of good doctors like McCullough and Tenpenny, or whistleblowers like Karen Kingston, who rely on science, not pseudoscience or scientism. They rely on facts, true facts, and the truth, not bullying, not opinion. I got to give a lot of thanks to these courageous women like Kingston and Tenpenny. I know that courage is inspiring a lot of you out there. So what do all these people have in common? Well, each and every one of these people I just talked about, Trump, Imran Khan, Bolsonaro, Shinzo Abe, that Fernando guy that I can't remember his name from Ecuador, Karen Kingston, now Sharon Tenpenny, each and every one of them are populists fighting for their country first and foremost, putting their nation and its sovereignty before this World Economic Forum's Great Reset, Agenda 2030, Operation Lockstep garbage. Yet none in the mainstream media dare call this a conspiracy. And speaking of conspiracy, have you heard about what's really going on over in Maui? Well, there's a really good balanced clip out there that I'd like to open this whole discussion with. And I forget the name of the guy that's doing it. I didn't put his name in notes, so I apologize. But this is a very balanced discussion with no speculation, just what's going on. Just have a listen. It's about 3 minutes long.
What's going on in Maui? There is a lot to unpack, so try to keep up. Several wildfires have broken out on the island of Maui, creating mass devastation and destruction, most notably the town of Lahaina. This is not the people's fault, and our hearts go out to those affected. Why is Lahaina significant? It was once the capital of the Kingdom of Hawaii, prior to the forced U.S. annexation and the eventual move to Honolulu. Lahaina is filled with native property and business owners that have dug their heels in and have refused to sell their properties to conglomerates such as BlackRock, Vanguard, and Oprah. Unglobalized prime oceanfront property still owned and managed by the natives. So what caused this destruction? Short answer, no one knows. All government agencies, local and federal, have vehemently stated that it is unknown. However, there are two competing theories online. One, environmental, the perfect combination of a major hurricane 200 miles off the southern shore of Maui, combined with northern pressure to create massive dryness and winds. Or two, diabolical, something the conspiracy theorists call a DEW, direct energy weapon. What? I had the same response, so I started Googling. The first article that pops up when you Google Maui DEW is from Newsweek. It starts like this. The devastating wildfires in Hawaii have brought a new conspiracy theory from climate change deniers who suggest that the destruction was orchestrated by the federal government's direct energy weapons. Ugh. Anytime a propaganda media article starts with conspiracy theory by climate change deniers, makes me want to believe it more. Next article, fact checked, false. Wait, what? I thought the facts were unknown, but how can we rule out trending theories as impossible already? Joe Biden just announced that the federal government will provide aid to those that lost their homes. That means homeowners who lost their houses and properties can now loan money from the federal government at a low interest rate. Your super valuable property that is skyrocketing in value, you can now get a new mortgage courtesy of Uncle Sam. There are also countless efforts by the people to send aid and support to devastated areas. This would be great, except local residents are now saying that they are having difficulty delivering such aid and only FEMA and Red Cross aid is being allowed in. Roadblocks everywhere. No one allowed in or out. And Maui is an island surrounded by water next to one of the largest U.S. military bases. Local residents are saying that they received no advanced warning and that they only evacuated once they saw the thick black smoke at their doors. Why was the federal response so slow on this matter, waiting until the fire had overtaken this area prior to action? I don't know what's going on in Maui. Our hearts go out to all those affected, and we pray for your safety. But what I do know is that there are more questions than answers. And anytime that's the case, especially when global self-interest benefits and people suffer, well, you know, conspiracy theory.
Well, folks, I could tell you one thing that's happening. Can anyone say Nero?
What?
That's right, Paul. This entire Maui fire narrative is looking more and more like what happened in ancient Rome back during the days of Nero. Now, there was a great fire in Rome. It began on the night of July 18th to 19th, that night in the year 64 AD. So let's hear the establishment storyteller, Nat Geo, give us the establishment version of that great fire, that historic fire that occurred in Rome over nearly 2,000 years ago.
Nero is at his seaside villa when the fire breaks out. Flames erupt in the Circus Maximus. Rome's largest sporting venue forms a mile-long track of timber, and its seats provide the ultimate fuel. Within minutes, flames spread the entire length of the circus and jump to the nearby Palatine Hill, the Beverly Hills of ancient Rome. Fire climbs Rome's hills and descends again into her valleys. The city is an inferno.
People were running out of their houses, apartment buildings, screaming, looking for each other, asking for help, trying to help people who were in need of help, looking for a way out in the middle of this incredible noise. In the streets that were filled with smoke, not being able to orient themselves where they were, and often running right into danger and flames and destruction.
The fire dies down after 6 days. The city is devastated. Many think the worst is over. But the blaze ignites again. Flames spread from neighborhood to neighborhood, devouring everything in sight. Rome burns for 9 days. The devastation is massive.
The fire of 64 is an outstanding event. It's a rare event. Fires before then were frequent in Rome, but not on this scale. Most of the city is destroyed. It has to be almost rebuilt totally.
Uh-huh. Three of Rome's 14 districts are completely destroyed. Seven are reduced to mangled ruins. Only four remain intact. It's the perfect opportunity for a builder. Too perfect. Rumors begin to spread that the fire is an opportunity the emperor created for himself. Legend says that as Rome burned, Nero sat on his balcony, singing the fall of Troy, with the city suffering as his backdrop. But like many accounts of Nero's life, it's hard to separate fact from fiction.
Did you hear that? Fact from fiction. This is all a psyop, folks. I am telling you that. Hey, and as Rome burned, they always said that Pharaoh fiddled. Wasn't Biden also sitting on a beach fiddling while Maui burned? You know, so just as some Romans thought that fire was an accident, and that's what Nat Geo's suggesting, there were others, critical thinkers, literate, astute, discerning truth seekers of the time, truth warriors of the first century, who are just like the people we heard from just before here about what's going on in Maui. And I'm telling you, folks, there's some drone footage that was out during the actual fire now. It's coming out on social media. I don't know if you've seen it, but take a look for it. It's sickening. You see individual buildings burning and then buildings right behind it, no fire. That's not how wildfires spread, folks. You have one building, the one right beside it, a big box store, is not burning. And then you could look at the houses that are burning in different neighborhoods, and then houses right across the street aren't burning, and then other houses are. Yet what's really curious is none of the trees and vegetation are. I thought it was a wildfire, and don't wildfires spread from vegetation? What's going on here, folks? Well, you got to stay tuned for the Back to the Future segment. And there's something even more nefarious than directed energy weapons that nobody, even on alt media, is talking about. So stay tuned. So let's get back to this thought about Nero and the parallels to what's going on now with the governor over in Hawaii. Okay. So you had these literate, astute, discerning thinkers, both then and now, calling out the leaders. Just like Nero was called out by some of the best thinkers of the day, Pliny the Elder, Suetonius, Cassius Dio, they were calling him out saying, what have you done? You destroyed the city so you could build your pleasure palace. It was known as the Golden House. Now, there's a really good backstory on this over at pbs.org. It's called The Great Fire of Rome, and it gives you a little more of the backstory here. And I just want to quote one thing out of that story. It says, it would have been seen as very inappropriate on the part of the elite of Rome. This is a quote from an art historian named Eric Varner on this PBS article. He says, they would have been happy if Nero had built the Dominus Aurea. That's that golden palace out in the country. But to do it here in the city, that was an extraordinary kind of statement. So that's why these people contend that it was destroyed. Rome was burnt to the ground so that Nero could build his golden pleasure palace. By the way, I'm not the only one calling out the false narrative being spewed by the mainstream media concerning this whole Maui thing. There's a lot of other people out there. And this isn't conspiracy theory. It's conspiracy fact. You know, the government of Hawaii has a digital city conference slated for September. Thank you, Sue, for bringing that to my attention. And there's a clip out there that I want to play for you now. This is, and all the fact checkers and their fact checking machines are out there saying, this is all wrong. This is all wrong. But I want you to hear in Hawaii Governor Josh Green's own words that he's looking for ways for the Hawaiian government to acquire this tribal land. And oh, by the way, what's the significance of August 8th? Well, stay tuned for Back to the Future, and I'll tell you some very chilling facts that also happened on August 8th. But let's listen to what the Hawaiian governor now plans to do with this land that was destroyed by fire.
Already thinking about ways for the state to acquire that land so that we can put it into workforce housing. Let me get this straight. The houses burned down. Most of the trees are fine. The governor is talking about how to acquire the land and turn it into smart homes. Am I understanding correctly?
Now, while I was researching all this for the show today, folks, my sister-in-law, Sue, sent me this great fundraiser from a guy named Christopher Green on YouTube. His channel is AMTV, and it's called the Island Project Fundraiser. So you can go to YouTube, look for Christopher Green, AMTV. And what I like about this guy is he's a Christian, and I got a real good witness when I listened to the clip. It's about 14 minutes, and he is raising money through a GoFundMe site that is going directly to the islanders who own this land. They are trying to be forced out. The establishment is trying to force them out economically. And did you hear the nerve of Biden to say he's going to offer each of the victims a one-time $700 payment as he's now begging Congress to send more and more billions of dollars over to Ukraine, which is a deep state hideout for all sorts of corruption? You just can't make this absurdity up, folks. We have to keep moving, and right now it's time for our money segment called Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow, 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 follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick, follow the Yellow Brick, follow the Yellow Brick Road. You're off to see the river, the wonderful river of Oz. You'll find the end of the river, if ever a river was. If ever, ever a river was, the Wizard of Oz is one because of the wonderful things he does. You're off to see the Wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
And remember, the Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Not all sorts of evil, all evil stems from the love of money. Not money itself. Money is a tool. From the love of it. Folks, money's no different than a hammer, a shotgun, a shovel, a rake, a hoe, a pair of scissors for a seamstress. It's a tool. And when used properly, good things happen. And when used improperly, bad things happen. Now, another artifact of a postmodern world is that you can blur the truth between facts such as currency and money. Money is higher than currency. Money has intrinsic value. And then currency crept in, fiat currency specifically, that became a surrogate for true money. So we've talked about it on the past a lot, and I don't hear anybody talking about it in these terms on alt media. But in the day when we had lawful money, gold and silver, it was private money. And it was used through the sale of bonds by the government, in addition to their just taxes like import fees and other sorts of excise taxes, which were the lawful constitutional method of taxation to fund the government. So they used private money through the establishment of public debt through bonds to fund government works projects. Now, if people didn't believe in the need for that program, nobody bought the bonds and the government couldn't do it. Well, that wasn't working. So they come along in 1913 with fiat money. Now, to make it credible, they linked it to the gold and silver, the true lawful money. But at that time, the money became public when it became Federal Reserve notes, currency, and the debt became private. Now, over time, through this slow process of creep, which was perfected by the Thule Society, you know, their logo is the rabbit and the tortoise, they were able to fool people. Now, in this next clip, it just speaks volumes. This is the head of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, being questioned by somebody on the finance committee, asking him why 2% inflation is good for her constituents. Just have a listen. And I'll tell you, this could have been in the Kabuki Theater update, it's so crazy, or the Absurdian report. But I put it here because I have some thoughts I want to share with you.
For the general public, for those working families, why 2%? Why is getting it to 2% so important?
So that has become the globally agreed, essentially all major central banks target 2% inflation in one form or another.
How does that help my Nevada families? How does that help people in Nevada?
I'll tell you how it does. And it's not obvious how that is, but what is 2% inflation? To have people believe that inflation is going to go back to 2% really anchors inflation there, because you know the evidence is, and the modern belief is that people's expectations about inflation actually have an effect on inflation. If you expect inflation to go up 5%. Then it will, you know, if everyone kind of expects that, because that's what businesses and households will be expecting, and it will kind of happen because they expect it. So,
oh, folks, my cuckoo clip isn't playing. That was plain cuckoo, folks. Absolutely cuckoo. Why 2%? Well, it's globally agreed by all the big fascist banks, run by 13 blue blood families around the world, globally agreed. Obviously, it's not obvious. And then did you hear that line he said in there, our expectations affect inflation? What? No, the printing of fiat currency robs you and me of our sweat and blood that we're compensated for from our labor through fiat currency. It's a form of theft, a form of unconstitutional taxation. Why 2%? Why 2% inflation? How does that help the people? It doesn't, folks. He couldn't answer that simple question. Not because he didn't know the answer, but because he didn't know how to lie his way out of that one. It was so blunt. It was so direct. And I think this overnight sensation, this young man with a heart turned towards God, and you'll see why I said that at the end of the show. This young man named Oliver Anthony has this song that is just blowing away the charts everywhere, yet there's not a peep of it on the mainstream media. So let's listen to Oliver Anthony's response to what's bad about this system and their thievery known as fiat money and everything else they're doing in the swamp known as Washington, D.C.
I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life away, drag back home and drown my troubles away. It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me, people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. All it is, living in the new world, with an old soul. The rich man knows, the rich man, Lord knows it all. Just wanna have total control. Wanna know what you think, wanna know what you do. And they don't think you know, but I know that you do. Your dollar ain't shit, and it's taxing no end. All the rich men, all the rich men. I wish politicians look out for miners, and not just miners on an island somewhere. Lord, we got folks in the street, ain't got nothing to eat, and the whole beast milking welfare. God, if you're 5'3" and you're 300 pounds, taxes ought not to pay for your bags of blood drowned. Young men are putting themselves 6 feet in the ground, because all this damn country does is keep on kicking them down. Lord, it's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me, people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. how it is living in the new world. With an old soul, these rich men know the rich men. Lord knows they all just want to have total control. Want to know what you think, want to know what you do. And they don't think you know, but I know that you do. Cause your dollar ain't shit, and it's taxed to no end. Cause the rich men know the rich men. I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay.
God bless you, Oliver Anthony. That young man resonated with our old souls living in this new world order. Why? Because he didn't just write a song, folks. He wrote a new anthem. And it is hitting us, young and old, rich and poor. And I'm not talking about these bogus rich. I'm talking about people that earned their wealth the American way by sweat and labor, not by speculation on a fraudulent money system controlled by the Federal Reserve through the Open Market Committee. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the true way that people became successful through life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This man wrote an anthem. And when you go and look at any of the comments on any of the video channels, like on YouTube and that are covering this song, it is a groundswell of appreciation, of agreement. Left, right, young, old, rich, poor, they're all saying the same thing. This man wrote an anthem. He's speaking to me. And this is what we need, folks. And a bit more on that in the Hopium Report. So think about it for a minute. 2% inflation. Why is that the globally agreed standard among all the banksters? Well, think about it like a store clerk working in a little convenience store. The receipts at the end of the day are about $1,000 a day. So the store clerk snatches a 20 every day, or four fives, or five fives, a five and a 10. Every day he just takes that from the local convenience store register. Now, do you think his boss is going to notice it? Well, he should, but human nature is such that we cannot discern the small stuff. Yet over time, it adds up. That's the law of compounding. Now, if that store clerk were to take 10 or 20%, if the federal government and the deep state were to inflate it 10 to 20% a year, that'd be like that store clerk stealing 100 or two a day. And I guarantee you the boss would notice it. You know, in the day, they called what Jerome Powell just did speaking with a forked tongue. Well, today, we call it modern monetary theory. But Jesus said in John chapter 8, verses 44 through 45, ye are of your devil, your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Folks, that's exactly what's going on today. And hence we get songs like this and a stirring in our once great land. Wake up, America. We've got to wake up before it's too late. Hey, I've got to keep moving. I'm looking at the clock, and it's time for our Outer Limits segment.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image. make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Now, I stumbled upon this article quite by accident this week, and it's titled, and it sounds like an episode right out of The Outer Limits. And for all you new listeners out there, a shout out and a hello. The numbers are increasing, folks. The one thing you can do here is get this out, post it on your social media sites. I noticed that seems to be working the best. I replied to a few people over on Facebook on the Tribulation Now Facebook page that Sister Kathy and I still control. John wasn't able to get a hold of that, so he's disavowed any association with us, but, you know, that's his issue, not ours. The point I want to make right now, the folks, is we can do something. We can spread the word. We can spread the good news. So this next story, oh, and by the way, all you new listeners, if you'd like to reach me, it's kdbeer1961@gmail.com. Shoot me an email, say hi. I answer all of them, and I do want to hear from you. And I want to hear what I can do to make this show better so that we reach more people with the good news, which is the rock of truth, Jesus Christ. So this next story, folks, sounds like it's just out of an episode of The Outer Limits or The Twilight Zone. And it was from science, howstuffworks.com, and it's titled, Are Creatures Living Among Us in Parallel Dimensions? Now, I think a lot of this is being driven by the entire alien UFO, ancient aliens narrative that's becoming full force mainstream right now. So in this, their host, Ben Bolin, Noel Brown, and Matt Frederick, they have this podcast or this show titled Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. And it's a podcast. And they ask the question, what are ultra-terrestrials? Now, there's this whole discipline. I like to call it a religion known as particle physics. And the reason I say that, folks, is particle physics, theoretical physics, and I'm not the only one that said it. People like Nikola Tesla have said it, and other very, very scientifically grounded men and women have come against this entire theoretical physics narrative. But what particle physics is supposedly trying to do is explain the origins of the universe and what the fundamental building blocks of matter were. And how do they do this? By breaking atoms up through projects like CERN. But I say there's another reason for CERN. So they're looking for the unified field theory. And I talked to former military colonel Tom Bearden, and I'm going to get into that and back to the future. But we're scientists for generations have been looking for the unified field theory. And what it does is it pulls all the theories of relativity, if you buy into all that, and gravity, if you buy that, into one unified theory that harmonizes all strongly attractive forces, all weakly attractive forces, and it gets into what's known as zero-point energy. But I'm getting off point. So now, in the standard model of physics, particles are viewed as like these point-like, impossibly tiny dots, if you could picture that. In the standard model, I have to tell you this, it's still theoretical. Because there's a lot that we don't understand about these attractive forces, gravity, electrostatic forces, the way an atom supposedly stays together. So what we're getting into here, there's three realms. There's the physical realm, seen, the physical realm, unseen, that which can be seen with instrumentation. So I'm talking things like radio waves and microscopy. So you have the physical world that you can see with your five senses, and then you have the augmented reality with the use of instrumentation. And then there's this very strong line between actual reality, seen or unseen, and then the metaphysical realm or the spiritual realm. And, you know, that's where this whole quantum mechanics starts to try to delve into. And that's why I said it's more like a religion than it is an actual hard, cold discipline, experimental science. It is, in fact, not even experimental science. It's known as theoretical science. And I know I'm getting too deep on a lot of this, but here's my point. There's this theory out there called string theory, and it's a model of theoretical physics where instead of dots, they link all the particles together with tiny strings, and they all vibrate together. It's frequency, folks, and that creates size and mass. Now, you have to remember that this sort of science all begins with an assumption, and if you read any of this, you go back to the first word in any of their documents, you know what that word is? If. It's an assumption, folks. Now, if string theory is to be accurate, it means that there has to be more than 10 dimensions out there. Now, the four that we know in experimental science is time and space, and space has three, height, width, and depth. So as an experimental scientist, I had to confine or restrict all of my discipline to those four dimensions. Yet these theoretical scientists, these high priests of the new scientism, all they have to do is put the word if in front of their work, and then they could speculate anything they want. And that's how they're trying to explain creation. That's how they're trying to explain all these spiritual phenomena out there. That's what they're doing with the CERN program. And now they're even starting to say that this is where demons and fairies and folklore came from and all the things that are in our ancient texts. No, that came from the spiritual realm. That's the truth. But, you know, I'm reading this article and it's like, oh my gosh, this is like reading something from the Outer Limits. So the reality is that we're spiritual beings having a physical experience for a brief period of time. And in the teaching that Jesus did on the sheepfold and gate in John chapter 10, verses 7 through 10, he said, I am the gate. Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me were thieves and robbers, just like these people today getting into tarot cards and all that stuff. But the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. That means if you want to get into the metaphysical realm, as they call it today, or if you want to get into the spiritual realm, as the ancient writers referred to it, you must come in and out through Jesus Christ, and then you'll find good pasture. And Psalm 23 will apply to you. Now, anyone not entering the metaphysical realm, the spiritual realm, through Jesus Christ is a trespasser, a thief, a robber. So if you're dabbling in the spiritual with anything other than Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the light, I caution you, folks, you're onto something real, but it's very real in a demonic sense. But I have to keep moving, and right now it's time for our Absurdian Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
On this next clip, we have an episode from Piers Morgan's show where he has scientist Neil deGrasse Tyson. And I cringe when I put that word scientist in front of Neil's name, folks. I would love to debate him one-on-one. Neil, you pick the topic, and I know this will never happen, but you pick the topic and I will debate you, brother. One scientist to another. The only problem is, Neil, that I'm grounded in truth. And you're not. Now, listen to how this opens up with Piers Morgan intro. He uses the phrase for the belief in science and in facts. Now, we have something going on there. We have a misuse of the term belief, a misuse of the term science, and a total misunderstanding of what facts are relative to truth. And like I said, more on that at the end of the show. Now, I had planned to listen to 13 minutes of this, but I'm looking at the clock and we're not going to have time. So what I'm going to do is just play a little bit of it for you. And if you'd like to hear the whole clip, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com and I'll get a link to that clip out for you. But this is truly absurd, folks. This is a scientist, supposed scientist, saying what you're going to hear.
Welcome back to my special edition with astrophysicist and author Neil deGrasse Tyson. His brilliant new book, Starry Messenger, Cosmic Perspectives on Civilization, is a much-needed clarion call for a belief in science and facts, that old trick to try and get through the world's complexities. Neil, let's talk about gender. Gender is probably the most divisive theme in the world right now. It's almost like you can't even talk about it without people losing their minds. And I guess at the center of it is this core belief, which many put forward, that there is a biological science towards sex, and then there is gender. And that is an identity issue, which is separate to sex and biology. What is your view of this, and why has it got so toxic? And what is the way through this debate?
Yeah, so I think I have some insights there brought to you by how we end up classifying things in the universe. In the universe, very few things are discrete in what they are. There's, in almost all cases, a continuum between one kind of object and another. Now, it's hard to have conversations about continua, so you divide it up into as many categories as is sensible, and then you have a way to discuss what's going on in the universe with others. So here we have human beings, where let's go back to the bio part of this, where you have the chromosomes, XXY. There's intersex where one of the chromosomes is doubled up. No one is arguing that. Just give that to the biologists, and you can call that what sex. Is it male sex or female sex? I don't have a problem with that. What I do know is that in the real world, in a free country, where, because I remembered some document that said the pursuit of happiness, it seems to me freedom, which is so heavily championed in the West, is accompanied by a pursuit of happiness. Okay. That's foundational to what I'm about to say. So we all know growing up that in the classroom every year, there were girls who were a little more tomboyish. In fact, tomboy, who came up with that word? They're really tom girls, right? A tom cat is a boy cat. A tom girl would be a sort of a boy girl, right? I don't know where tomboy came from, but there were tom girls. They didn't wear skirts. They wanted to play in the mud with the boys. We know they existed. There were boys that were slightly effeminate relative to the others. We know they existed. And so, but we had words for them. They were ridiculed, whatever. We live in a time now where people are emboldened to say, you know, today I feel part female and part male. All right. So today, in fact, I will be neutral to you. I will be androgynous. But you know something? If you're trained in this, you got to be A or B. You got to be a boy. You got to be a girl. You know what you're doing? You're taking your inability of your human mind. By the way, this is true for all human minds, because we got to categorize. We always have to categorize. All right. It makes it easier to think about it, but in the end, it's just lazy. All right. So you say, boy or girl, are you a boy or a girl? And then someone is androgynous and it makes you feel uncomfortable. But just because you feel uncomfortable, does that give you the right to come back to a person who's expressing their freedom of self?
It doesn't, but I think what I would say.
That's enough, Neil. You crossed the line of reality, brother. And I am embarrassed that you use the same term I do for my profession. You are not a scientist. Neil, you said that very few things are discrete in the universe. Give me a break. Let's get into the periodic table. Let's get into mathematics. There's nothing more discrete than mathematics, brother. And then you have the nerve to quote the founding documents, yet you forget the one opening line that I read earlier in the show. We hold these truths to be self-evident. You just smeared every truth out there. He is in the Gnostic realm coming, folks. Neil deGrasse Tyson is saying if you declare it, it is real. And we covered that in Ken's Corner a few weeks ago. There are only certain occasions where we can make declaratory statements and they stand to be true. We can't declare things to be what they aren't. And that's what Neil was trying to say there. And that's all I have time to talk about with regard to that absurdity. We have to keep moving, and it's time for our Hopium Report. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium. Now, what I'd like to cover in this part is the fact that there's a fine line, a very fine line, between passive resistance and outright rebellion. I'm not going to ask you, or I'm not going to tell you where that line is, but I always say, do not comply. Do not comply to their wishes. Sure, you got to obey the law, but you don't have to comply to all of their absurdity. You don't. So when I say that things like what Neil deGrasse Tyson just did weren't science, they're pseudoscience, that's the truth. And what we the people need to do is stand up and say no more. But think about it. These people are out there, these establishment hacks are out there telling us things like ivermectin is for horses. Wrong. The truth is, and it's always been, that ivermectin is an effective treatment against COVID-19. And now the Luciferians are admitting it. It's coming out from the CDC. The FDA. The FDA just said, we never said that doctors can't prescribe ivermectin for COVID patients. Oh, really? That's a lie. These Luciferians understand nothing but force, folks. And although they're itching for a rebellion so they can impose martial law, we the people must be as wise as serpents, but as gentle as doves. So there are some creative alternatives. And I caught this story over at the Gateway Pundit. Cameras go up to punish drivers in the name of climate change. Then vigilante strike. So in this story, it's a story of these cameras popping up all over and people are doing all sorts of vigilante vandalism, I'll call it. From spraying the lenses with paint to knocking the towers down to doing whatever they have to do to disable these spy devices. Now, I'm not going to encourage this. In fact, that clip we played from Sean with Devon and his wife, she actually suggested starting to destroy the cell phone towers, the 5G towers. I'm not advocating any of that. But I am telling you something, folks. The government is using psychological warfare on we the people. And they are keeping us divided as a people because a divided populace is easier to control. Didn't Jesus say a house divided cannot stand? Folks, I'm telling you, it's time for Americas to unite. Just like we heard from Oliver Anthony's song, we are being used left, right, rich, poor, young, old. And I'm not talking uber rich, folks. I'm talking, again, those people that have earned their money the American way through the sweat and blood of their brow. So, what the deep state does is they always couch these narratives with these empathetic words like fair, equal, humane, and just. But they're not interested in any of that. And they're not interested in fixing any of the problems. They just use these problems to create even more problems. Remember their ordo, Habkeo motto, I should say. And problem, reaction, solution, the Hegelian dialectic. So the leftist party and now the rhino Republicans are destroying this nation. And I'm telling you, they've seized control. And what's happening in the U.S. right now at an alarming rate and a deconstruction of our stable society is not by accident. And all the pieces of the puzzle fit together. Picture the spokes on a bicycle wheel. And at the hub, you have the mind, the Borg, the deep state, the Luciferians, whatever you want to call them. And then they send marching orders out to education, to politics, to money, to finance, to media. And then They all do their bidding, the bidding of the power elite, the Council of Nine, who follow their master, Lucifer, as angels of righteousness. And that's what they're doing. So what can we do as more and more people wake up far and wide? Well, we can share the truth. And with all these indictments coming out from Trump right now, I mean, it's insane. How many has he had right now? He's had them in, two in Florida. I'm doing this from memory. One in New York, one in Atlanta. That's four, two, three, four. There's one that Katie Hobbs is now pushing for in Arizona. It's time to share the evidence of the massive widespread voter fraud in both 2020 and the 2022 election. It's there, folks. And people say, well, there were 60-plus court cases. No. Those were all shot down, not on merit, but on standing. The evidence is there. The courts are just too wimpy to cover this because it's going to cause an uprising beyond what they think the system can manage. But the truth is that there's proof beyond a doubt that our elections were stolen. So what can you do? Well, you're going to have to pray about it if you're going to go as far as vigilante vandalism. I'm not advocating that, but you can spread the word. Share these podcasts. Get the word out. I've got a really good page you can go to called thebereanwatch.org, and on this page, this individual put all this evidence together, videos, articles, all sorts of sources dealing with the election coup of 2020. And this has been up for 2 years. So it's thebereanwatch.org. Go over there, and he's got a whole section on all the evidence for the 2020 election theft. Now, some of what's in that collection, and I'm telling you, folks, it's an enormous rabbit trail. I went down it. I pursued a lot of that on these shows back in late 2020 and early 2021 before the scamdemic hit. And I was hoping there was going to be military intervention. They're going to step in and seize all the ballots and all the voting machines and do a forensic analysis. And there was all that talk that the National Security Agency has all the goods, that nothing's happened. But I'm hoping now with the absurdity of all these indictments against President Trump that more people are going to wake up and we're going to hit a tipping point. And love them or hate them, folks, I really don't care. There was an atrocity done here with regard to the election of 2020 and the midterms, 2022. And now it's time that we stand up on that rock of truth and begin to understand the difference between the truth and mere facts. So I hope you stay tuned to the end of the episode where we're going to see what that difference actually is. But I have to keep moving. And right now it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
Now, I shared this book with my dear friend and pastor, Todd, and it's a book I first read about 20 years ago. Hey, folks, I'm down to 60 minutes on this, and last week they cut me off. If that happens again, for all you live listeners, I will have the studio recording reposted to Blog Talk a little bit later today. But anyways, I shared this book with my pastor, Todd. It was written by a theologian who lived in the 1800s. He died in 1910. He was a member of the Plymouth Brethren, and his name was G.H. Pember, George Hawkins Pember. And he wrote a preface in his first edition that the purpose of this book was to remove some of the geological and other difficulties usually associated with the commencing chapters of Genesis and to show the characteristic features of the days of Noah were reappearing in Christendom. That's here and now, folks. Therefore, the days of the Son of Man could not be far distant. So what he did is he said there was a great gap in the Genesis account between the original in the beginning narrative and then a little later in chapter one. And I'm going to add, and Pember gets into it a little bit, that there's a difference between the Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 account. Now, this is dynamite, folks. But, you know, you have to be prepared for this before you read it, or it's like giving a physics book to a second grader and asking him to understand it. But it's a very good book, and I encourage you to read it. And you can get it over at archive.org. And if you can't find it, email me and I'll send you a link to it. So Pember's argument concerning the gap theory is really good, but a lot of the critics out there are saying, oh, that's how evangelical Christians tried to rationalize away the truth of evolution and all this other stuff. And that is a big bogus lie, folks. The truth is so much more than that. And I'm telling you, Pember knew about the return of the Nephilim and a lot of other details that mainstream Christianity doesn't understand. But one thing he didn't understand is the vast army of humans that were needed by Lucifer to establish this last system of the coming of the Antichrist that some people call the Senate Kumra. But he's better known as the Antichrist, who could rule the planet for 7 years here very shortly. We know that to be true because of the book of Revelation. Now, it's important to understand this background and who these facilitators are to this very open conspiracy that's everywhere in all these different realms of our existence, from politics to religion to education to finance. It's there, folks, and it's all operating in lockstep, like an octopus with a central brain and all these tentacles, like the spokes on a wheel, all coming from the hub, which supports the entire open conspiracy. That I want to make here is that we need to study these things to understand, and that takes effort. And we have to learn to understand it. We have to learn to discern the truth from all the facts that bombard us daily. So I hope you act as a Berean and you read the material that's in the comment section on this particular book over at archive.org. And they're going to tell you about the New World Order and the coming Dark Ages. And I may get into some of this if the Lord leads me to that, because I read all these books years ago, and it's a very good way to open your eyes. It opens your eyes to the finances and what the media is and what they're doing to the young children and what all these other religions are all about and how they're trying to capture and deconstruct and reconstruct history and all the disclosures that are going to be coming out about the aliens and all this weird stuff. And now there's a spiritual aspect to your soul. And I talk about the triune nature of man all the time in this podcast. You know, we're body, soul, and spirit. Well, they understand how that works, and then they use it to manipulate us. And if you want to be free, you have to understand it and then operate within the realm of the metaphysical through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I can go on, but I have to keep moving. And right now, folks, it's time for Back to the Future. The segment where we take something from the past and bring it back to the future. Now, what we're going to do today is wind the clock back, way back to 1899 and the experiments of none other than Nikola Tesla in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Now, what Tesla managed to do in this laboratory that he leased over in Colorado Springs is he managed to wirelessly transmit energy to light some bulbs outside of his lab, and he literally shut down the entire grid in the nearby Colorado Springs. And he did this all when he powered up his famous Tesla coil. And you may remember these things from your days in science class, the big silver ball sitting on top of the pedestal, and your science teacher would turn it on, and what it would do is generate a very high voltage, low amperage charge through static charge. And you put your hand on it and the hair on your head would raise up. Well, that's a Tesla coil. Well, picture one that's like 100 feet tall. And I saw one on the History Channel's American Pickers. It was in some guy's lab up in New York. It was about 20 feet tall. And it was scary. Could you imagine one 5 times as tall or one 10 times as tall over in Long Island? So he managed to do this. And he believed that he had achieved what he referred to as terrestrial resonance. And remember, I mentioned to you before that I got on the Tesla back in the early 90s after I visited Goat Island up in Niagara Falls. We stayed at the bed and breakfast on the U.S. side. There was a little footbridge right across to the island, and Terry was getting ready for our day out in Niagara Falls, and I figured I'd take a morning walk over to the island, and I saw this bust of Nikola Tesla. Now, I'm a PhD scientist, and I didn't even know who this guy was. So I've been studying Tesla for about 30 years, folks. And he believed that he now had a way to eliminate the electrical grid. So he approached none other than J.P. Morgan, who on March 1901 decided to invest $150,000 into this project. And today that'd be like over $4 million. So Morgan got involved in this, and Tesla immediately began work. He bought 200 acres up at the upper end of Long Island, I believe it was, one of the ends of the island. And he got with Westinghouse Electric, and he got this very prestigious architect named Stanford White, who was also very enthusiastic about the project. So White helped him design the Tesla coil, this huge thing that was close to 200 feet tall, and the main laboratory, which to this day still stands and is now a museum, a Tesla museum. That tower was 187 feet tall, a wooden tower with this big dome, the 68-foot diameter metallic hemispheric dome on the top. That's just like one of the ones in science class, except orders of magnitude larger. Now, he got the tower done in 1902. It was called the Wardenclyffe Tower. And he did experiments until 1905. And he held on to it, retained ownership, and was trying to raise funding until 1915. But then he lost control through mortgage foreclosures, and the tower was destroyed in 1917. But Tesla never gave up this dream his entire life. Now, he did manage to develop certain devices over that period, the rest of his life, to demonstrate this. He had one device that he clamped to a girder on a skyscraper in New York City, and he started this resonant frequency, and he had to shut it off. Because all the buildings, that one and all the buildings around him, began to sway and shake, and had it continued, this little resonator, the size of a toaster, he could have brought all the skyscrapers in New York City down. Now, in 1934, Tesla claimed that he made this incredible discovery, and he had discovered a device that could kill from miles away without electricity. And he called his device the Teleforce. And then the media picked up on it and called it the Death Ray. Now, Tesla didn't really understand what he had stumbled upon, but I think the federal government did, because upon his death, they swept into his hotel room at the Waldorf, and they seized all of his scientific writings and classified them all as top secret. Now, what Tesla had actually rediscovered was what's known as Maxwell's scalar waves. And what he was proposing, and he didn't even understand it, was a scalar wave weapon. Now, these scalar waves, I'm going to try to do this in layman terms, and I've been studying this for 30 years, so it's really difficult to try to articulate, but I'm going to do my best. They're known as electromagnetic longitudinal waves, or Maxwellian waves. Some people call them Teswellian waves or Tesla waves. And they're all variants of this scalar electromagnetics, or what's known as scalar energy. And it's the background of the whole realm of quantum physics. And what's interesting about it is scalar waves actually move faster than the speed of light. And I was talking to Colonel James Bearden, Lieutenant Colonel Bearden, Tom Bearden, who we're going to talk about a little bit here. And he was explaining a lot of this too. One day I had a six-hour conversation with the man. He sent me a packet 3 inches thick of all these documentations. I don't even know if he's still alive today, but he wanted me to get involved in their research, and I simply did not have time. And to this day, I regret that, folks. But Tom Bearden actually has some documents out on a CIA website called The Reading Room. I'm going to call that up on my other computer here and just talk about it. So you can go over to the CIA reading room and just type in scalar, and you'll see all these different documents coming up. But the one that I have actually reviewed with Tom Bearden, I talked to him, I think it was 1989. He published this on April 24th, 1984. I have a copy of it in my files here, folks. It's called Star Wars Now, the Bohm-Amirov effect, scalar interferometry, and Soviet weaponization. Now, why am I bringing this all up? Well, here's why. On those clips we played about Maui, you heard about directed energy weapons. Well, folks, that's all based on lasers and sound. And yeah, there's some effective technology going on there. But these scalar waves are like directed energy weapons on steroids, folks. And they can be both offensive and defensive. So the scalar wave weapons are real. It's like what the Death Star was in Star Wars. And you know, come to think of it, George Lucas may have been more of a prophet than he even realized. Now, on the brighter side, scalar waves can also be warped into a dome to protect objects like cities, houses, spacecraft. It's kind of like the Star Trek shields that Captain Kirk always used to talk about. They're known as the Tesla shield. Now, I don't know if you know, but we used to talk about this on the old show. The Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry, he admitted to channeling or speaking with these collection of entities that he simply called the Council of Nine. And he used to say they were from deep space. And a lot of the Star Trek ideas and themes and plots and storylines came from conversations he had with the Council of Nine. Folks, these are fallen angels. This is a familiar spirit. And it all links to everything we see going on in our society today. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but Nikola Tesla also claimed that he got a lot of his ideas from the metaphysical realm, including the Tesla shield. And you can read about that in his book titled, and I think I have it here. Oh, I don't. Oh, yeah. His book titled My Inventions. And if you haven't read that, I encourage you to go out and read it. And if you want to learn more about the Council of Nine and Star Trek, there's a good book out there called The Only Planet of Choice, and you can get it on archive.org. But I'm telling you, folks, this whole scalar wave technology, I know it sounds far out there and far-fetched, but it's not. I talked to Tom Bearden himself, and not for 15, 20 minutes, for 6 hours one day. And Tom and I stayed in communication for years, and then I just got caught up in life, and it all fell away. And then look at what's going on today. Now, you can find all sorts of stuff about directed energy weapons out there, and it's all over the place. And you even hear people like Greg Reese talk about it in a Reese report that I simply don't have time to cover here, but he talks about it. So I know a lot of people in the alt media are talking about directed energy weapons. Heck, Lockheed Martin even has a promo piece over on their website. And I think we might have time to play that. So I'm going to skip the Reese report, but I'm going to play the directed energy weapon promo over on Lockheed Martin's page.
Lockheed Martin produces systems that do everything from detect the threats to identify the threats, determine whether it's a threat to the aircraft, and then employs the appropriate weapon, in this case, a laser weapon system.
What we're hearing from our customers is that they need a layered, multi-domain defensive approach that can be integrated across platforms to neutralize these threats across all those domains. Imagine an aircraft equipped with a laser system with the capability to be able to neutralize a threat at the speed of a lightning strike, the precision of a surgical scalpel, with the magazine to deal with a swarm, and with the scalable effect to be able to address that threat, providing an effect all the way the one end from simply deterring it for a short period of time, all the way up to completely neutralizing and defeating that threat.
We were able to integrate our laser weapon system, Athena, into the classified C2 network and receive cues from the radar on the range in order to execute the full kill chain.
The
Helios laser weapon system builds on 40 years of combat system engineering and radar excellence. That is a fundamental change for laser weapon systems, which here to date have been prototypes added to a ship. Helios will be integrated into the ship.
So what's exciting about this technology is that it's scalable. It's lived in the laboratory for many years, but it's finally reached the power levels and the effectiveness to allow it to be used on the battlefield. As an example, today's laser weapon systems can be used to defeat rockets, artillery, mortars, and even small UAVs. And as that technology and capability scales, the effectiveness scales with it. We'll be to the point here shortly where we'll be able to defend aircraft against incoming missiles and even reach out over long distances and destroy ballistic missile threats.
Laser weapon systems are earning their way onto the battlefield. Lockheed Martin advancements in the fundamental subsystems, be it beam control, high energy laser, beam direction, power and thermal, is bringing a system-to-system approach to our customers' most challenging problems. Lockheed Martin can bring that end-to-end capability into the theater for the life of our platforms and help defend the brave women and men who boldly go in harm's way to defend our freedoms.
Can't make this stuff up, folks. Did you hear the names of their weapon systems? Athena, Helios. Did you hear the one woman say full kill chain? Folks, these things are a diversion. The real technology isn't directed energy weapons with lasers or sonic. Yeah, they're real. But the real weapon behind it all is the scalar technology. And that's the truth, folks. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, this was all natural what happened out there. It started from an arc flash when a tree fell on a power line. It was captured on a security video. Yeah, that fire was. But then there's drone footage, like I said, coming out right now, showing that these buildings are burning and then the trees right around them aren't. There were boats on the water burning. Yet the little boat shacks right by the boats on shore weren't burning. Did you don't see any of this on the mainstream media? There's one fire that looks like a ring around this whole section. Fires don't start in rings, folks. But scalar wave technology can do all of that and so much more. I'm telling you, there's a growing body of hard evidence that's being suppressed right now, even on the alt media. And I don't hear anybody in the alt media talking about scalar wave technology. It makes me believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that the so-called wildfires in Maui were nothing wild at all. It was all planned, folks. These are the results of multiple acts of geoengineering, geoterrorism, and pyroterrorism, folks. It is. I wanted to post a banner of that one ring of fire around this whole area. I just didn't have time to do it, and I do apologize. And then how about that book that came out? The fire started on August 8th, and a book was released, I think, on Amazon on August 10th. The fire was still going and this book was out. That kind of happened during the Oklahoma City bombing too. Remember with the FBI director's brother? Oh, that's ancient history now, folks. Well, here's five fun facts about August 8th and what it means in Hawaiian history. And this is the way these occultists always work. That's what April 19th was with Oklahoma City, folks. That was the day the construction of the USS Arizona Memorial began back in 1960, August 8th, 1960. So why'd they pick that date to commemorate the Pearl Harbor attack of December 7th, 1941? Well, in 1898, August 8th was the day that Queen Liliuokalani of Hawaii was officially declared the last Hawaiian sovereign as the United States stole the island chain from the native people. Just like they stole a lot of land here on the mainland from the Indians. I don't even want to get into what they did to the Senecas here in western Pennsylvania and the Kinzu Dam. That is pure thievery, folks. So they annexed the United States on August 8th, 1988. And then there was the Pueblo incident that began in 1968 on August 8th, 1968. That craft was seized by the North Koreans off the coast of the Korean Peninsula. And then there was another one. Somebody swam across the Kauai Channel on August 8th, 1982. And then Honolulu admitted the capital of Hawaii, 1850, August 8th, 1850. And isn't it strange that the fire started on that very same day, August 8th, 2023? I'm telling you, fires simply don't burn in these perfectly oval circles. And any fire marshal will tell you that. Yet there's evidence of that. And then it started on the 8th of August. There's all sorts of evidence, like I talked about the boats burning in the harbor and the boat shacks were still perfectly intact 10 feet away. All those homes, big box stores, perfectly intact, and all the small mom-and-pop businesses around them burned to the ground. These are not wildfires, folks. And I do not believe they use directed energy weapons. I believe they use scalar weapon technology. And then we have the 2016 Simpsons episode that's being debunked by all the fact-check machines out there that don't exist. Well, in this episode that I'm going to play next, it's just a short clip. It's titled Monty Burns Fleeing Circus. It's a story of a town, downtown Springfield, that just gets zapped by these death rays and buildings get set on fire. And all sorts of homes are destroyed by a death ray.
First off, I'd like to thank the good people at Can Gin Smelting and Mining and Donuts and Tots for neutralizing our wonderful, deadly new Lard Lad.
Yeah, that's great.
Bell grow back. The time for mourning and blaming our mayors has passed. We will rebuild. We will rebuild.
We will rebuild. We will rebuild. We will rebuild. We will rebuild.
We will rebuild. Isn't that exactly what Governor Josh Green said as he's plotting ways to steal the native tribal lands of the Hawaiians and make them state-owned properties?
Folks, you can't make this stuff up. Remember the last will and testament of Canaan? I read it to you out of the Talmud. Love one another. That is, keep the love in the family, like Rothschild said. Love robbery. Love lewdness, hate your enemies, and do not speak the truth. That's what these Canaanites are doing. That's what the Edomites are doing. That's what the Sabbateans, whatever you want to call them, the Luciferians, the deep state, the power elite. That's exactly what they're doing. They're not telling you the truth. These are the same people who organized the election coup, the same people who released the COVID bioweaponized nanotechnology on we the people and all of humanity. Plus, they have also convinced all the normies around the world that there's some kind of impending climate catastrophe, and there isn't. We've played top scientists on here that contradict that, and they're being deplatformed left and right. Well, I'm telling you, they're also behind these fires, the ones in California from a few years ago, Canada this year, now Maui. It's all Kabuki theater, folks, just as 9/11 was. Oklahoma City, Ruby Ridge, and Waco, they all were. All the while, the truth, grounded on the rock, Jesus Christ, is so different than all of these facts flying around. The truth is that more CO2 is better, creates less deserts, more forests, and more food. And you can go over to co2coalition.org and see that what I tell you there is true. I'm telling you, folks, the truth is that the fires that we're hearing all about are man-made. The truth is that Building 7 came down by controlled demolition on 9/11 while a reporter from the BBC was speaking, saying the building had fallen. It was still up behind her because it's all scripted, just like the book that came out on the fires in Maui during the fire. They got their timing wrong, folks. The truth is that the BATF murdered Randy Weaver's wife and his family members on Ruby Ridge, just like they did the 50 people at Waco and all those poor people in Oklahoma City. And at the time, I was working with William Cooper as a CAGI member, and we interviewed Ben Parton, the pyrotechnic expert from the Army, who said that bomb was not that fertilizer bomb in the rental truck was not the cause of that devastation in Oklahoma City at the Murrow Federal Building. It was not. This is all Kabuki theater, and it's all there to advance their Luciferian agenda. Hey, folks, did you know that the sheriff in Maui is the same sheriff that was in Las Vegas during the country concert in 2017, I believe it was, when that lone gunman that had been proven by audio analysis to be multiple gunshots fired, that narrative was pushed. Some crazy guy just shot out his window in some high-rise hotel and killed all those people. That same sheriff is now in charge of this whole thing in Maui. Don't you find that strange? Well, now what we need to do, folks, is understand the difference between facts and truth. What's a fact and what's truth? Well, today, I was led by God to share that with you. How can we tell the difference between the truth and facts? Well, we all may know a lot of things, a lot of facts. I certainly do. My head's full of them. But we can still be found lacking in matters of the truth, even if we're in the church. You know, information about God is not the same as having a relationship with Jesus. So today what I want to do is share with you the difference between truth and facts and learn how we can begin to treasure the truth. Now, in America, there's a tolerance for just about anybody and everything. And that thinking, that stinking thinking that it's become is known as pluralism. And to a degree, I agree with that. But in today's Luciferian establishment, run by the Freemasons and all these other groups, these dark, nefarious groups, they keep talking about acceptance. And my objection becomes unsafe, as my pastor was saying. So they don't mean pluralism in the good sense that I used to embrace it. For example, in a public gathering when it's time to pray, if they ask a rabbi to pray, he prays and it's just fine. Or they ask a Muslim to pray and he prays and it's just fine. Or they'll even ask a Catholic or a Baptist or a Protestant Pentecostal to pray. And they pray and everything's fine. Unless they invoke the name of Jesus. And then they'll say, no, don't do that. Don't pray in Jesus' name. And why is that? Why is that if pluralism is okay? In a truly pluralistic society, a rabbi ought to get to pray the way he wants to pray. A Catholic priest ought to get to pray the way he wants to pray. A Methodist pastor the way he wants to pray. A Muslim the way he wants to pray. But get a born-again evangelical Christian, I don't care what denomination he is, and if he gets up there and prays in the name of Jesus, he's struck down or told that you can't say that prayer. Well, in a society like that, that's not true pluralism, folks. You know, the fact is, or the truth is, that none of us are going to agree with everybody else on everything. But in a true pluralistic society, we all get to say, hey, this is who we are, and this is what we believe, and everybody else lets you declare it. But today, a true believer, a true disciple of Jesus Christ gets shut down in public forums when he does that. And one of my early go-to preachers was R.C. Sproul. And I remember a talk he was doing on postmodernism. And he said, in a truly free society, we're free to practice our religion in the public square, anywhere we choose to, work, school, home, anywhere. And that's freedom of religion. But what the establishment is going to do is they're going to confine it to freedom of worship, which is going to be confined to the full four walls of your church. And that's what they're doing today, folks. So we're not truly living in a pluralistic society. We aren't. It's been lost and fallen and gone. What Satan wants isn't pluralism. He wants syncretism, which is a big word, which means they simply mash everything up. you ever watch them make sausage in a meat plant, you wouldn't eat it. Well, that's what Satan's doing with the truth. He's mashing it all up, and out comes these mere facts, these mushy facts. Nobody seems to have sharp edges in their belief anymore. Nobody seems to cling to specific truths. You know the five fundamentals of the faith? That's where the word fundamentalist comes to. Email me if you don't know them, and I'll share them with you. I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint with a couple. One is the virgin birth. Another is the inerrancy of the Word of God, divinely inspired. And there's three more. So Satan wants syncretism. He doesn't want these sharp edges of truth, the five fundamentals. No, you can't have that. So today we have a generation that talks so much about values. We continue to hear people talk, oh, I got family values. I've got values, man. Everyone has values. The mafia even has family values. You ever watch the show? What was it called? The Sopranos? They had family values. No, no, no. You don't want values, folks. We don't want values. We don't need values. What we need are virtues. And there's a huge difference between a value and a virtue. You see, values come from autonomous individuals who simply decide what they want to believe. And that's what's happening today in this LGBT world. And it always baffles me when I hear people talk about a woman's right to kill her baby and everybody applauds her value for that. You know, just this past weekend, the Democratic candidate for president, RFK Jr., he got himself into a little bit of a logical bind over that. I don't know if you heard it, but he eventually said that he supports abortion until the baby, the day the baby leaves its mother's womb. And then the absurdity of it all, because he's got values instead of virtues, is that he begins to fight fiercely for the child's health and safety and defending the parents' rights to forbid all vaccines. So on minus one day, so a day before the child's birth, it's okay to kill the baby. But on birthday, day zero, day one, however you want to count it, he starts fighting fiercely for that child. So what's different with a day? What's different with an hour? What's different with a minute? What's different with a second? Nothing, folks. The point I'm trying to make is that when you stand on values, you get into that twisted, stinking thinking. But when you stand on virtues, you're standing on the rock of truth. So what we've done here in this once free country is we've shifted from true pluralism to what's known as syncretism today, and we've morphed from virtue to value. Now, another thing we've done is that we've moved from the truth to facts. And that's what I wanted to focus on as I wrap this up, and I am going way over. Now, as a consequence, we have a generation today that doesn't know how to differentiate between truth and facts and logic. So they're making declaratory statements about things that make no sense, like, I'm a man, and today I'm a woman, or like you heard Neil deGrasse Tyson say, I just feel like being neutral today, I'm androgynous. That's all craziness. Now get this. The truth is there's no new truth. Truth was settled before the foundations of this earth. Truth has been settled in eternity. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Now, the causality in modern American stinking thinking and around the world is that truth has been sacrificed by pragmatism. Just get her done, no matter who gets killed or who gets run over in the process of getting her done. So today we have this simply shallow way of thinking. I don't have any other way to put it. And we wrongly reason that if our pockets are full, then everything's fine, and that's all that really matters. So we've moved from one nation under God to one nation under greed. But the Bible says, buy the truth and see it not. So we've substituted facts for truth. Now, facts in themselves are not right or wrong. They're just facts. Facts are stubborn little things. And there's a big difference between acquiring facts and then learning the truth. Folks, the truth is we're drowning in facts. Consider all of the accumulated knowledge from the start of recorded history up until the year 1845. And let that be 1 inch. Just put 1 inch above your ground level. And then go from 1945 to 1945, just one century, okay? and that grows to about 3 times that. So now you got to stack 3 inches of truth papers on your desk. Now let that knowledge from 1845 that equals 1 inch and that knowledge from 1845 to 1945 grow to 3 inches. And guess what? If you go to present, you're looking at something that is well taller than the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C. Can you imagine that? From 1945 to 1975, that is. That 3 inches grew as tall as the Washington Monument. Now, today, from 1975, knowledge, facts have gone out of sight to the stratosphere. And probably at this point reaching the moon, which is supposedly 225,000 miles away. So we're learning more and more facts, exactly as Daniel prophesied when he said, in the last days, knowledge shall increase. So that's the truth, but the truth has not changed one bit. And by the way, truth is absolute and indivisible. In fact, the King James refers to truth in the Bible as the doctrine of God, singular tense. Whereas all the doctrines of men are in the plural tense. And that's because the doctrine of God is founded on the truth settled before the foundations of the earth, while the doctrines of men evolve and morph over time. That's why we have like umpteen thousand denominations with all their doctrines. But the thing you never divide on are the five fundamentals of the faith. And that's because the truth is immutable, absolute, indivisible. Yet sadly, we're living in a generation that's devouring facts as they crucify the truth. And that's the truth, folks. We see more crime, suicide, mental illness, broken homes, and drug abuse than ever before. And what's the difference between the facts and truth? Well, facts are kind of like a recipe, whereas truth is the meal you cook from the recipe. So we've got to eat and digest the truth, and it will literally change your lives. The truth is Jesus Christ. I was talking to a guy named Benji last night, and Benji said, if you can just get a taste of Jesus, it'll change your life. And I say amen to that, Benji. But you know what Satan's doing? Satan's lying to us, just like the curse of Canaan. And Satan's chief tool is the lie, which is antithetical to the truth. And Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, like I said, and he said, you are of the father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. I'm telling you, folks, Satan's motive is murder and his method is a lie. He was a murderer from the beginning and he abode not in the truth. And then Jesus said, because there is no truth in him, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So Satan's the father of all lies, and any liar is acting on behalf of his father, the devil. Now, in the future, perhaps next week, provided the Lord's willing, I'd like to provide 3 points concerning this truth. And we may do that in Ken's Corner. We may do this here at the end of the show. But that's all provided the Lord's willing. So what I'd like to do before we close this out is end on a positive note. And this next clip is none other than Oliver Anthony, who we heard singing that song, The Rich Men, North of Richmond. Listen to Oliver Anthony as he reads Psalm 37, and this ought to bring us great hope in our rock of truth, Jesus Christ.
The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better the little that have righteousness than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will have plenty. But the wicked will perish. Though the Lord's enemies are like the flowers of the field, they will be consumed, and they will go up in smoke.
Amen, brother. And to that I add, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Folks, stand on that rock of truth. Ask Jesus into your life right now, and he'll come into it. It won't make that life easier, but it will show you the way. He is the light. He is the way. He is the truth. And in the words of Winston Churchill, stand and keep standing and never give in. No, never.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember, folks, if you've invited Jesus Christ into your hearts, that same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, that same spirit now lives in you, the third person of the Holy Trinity, and he is there to give you light along this way as we lift Jesus up. So let's lift our hands up with Jeremy Camp and understand that that same spirit lives in you and me. I love y'all.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word.
The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can call the raging sea, lives in us.
We all cry out for change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11, it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.